The gospel reading this morning comes from the 16th chapter of Mark's gospel, beginning in verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Let the good news come now, O God, not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. I never get tired of preaching on Easter because I never tire of these resurrection stories. Each gospel has its own unique take. In John's gospel, Mary talks to the gardener. Matthew features an earthquake with an angel sitting atop the stone. Luke tells us that the women return to share the good news, and the disciples think it's all a bunch of hooey. But Mark has none of that. Like the rest of his gospel, Mark offers only the barest account of what happens and finishes with the women running in fear, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone. Actually, in Greek, Mark uses a double negative for emphasis, so it sounds like something you'd hear in East Tennessee. They said nothing to nobody. And there you have it, Mark's version of the first Easter, fear and silence and nothing said to nobody. As Eugene Peterson puts it, this is not an ending that inspires confidence. There are all sorts of theories about why this particular gospel concludes this way, ranging from Mark dying of a heart attack to dropping the last page of the manuscript on the way to Kinko's. One school of thought, which I kind of like, suggests Mark did this on purpose, as a way of stepping aside to hand us the pen. Back in chapter 1, verse 1, Mark says, "This is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." And perhaps he finishes this way because the whole gospel, all 16 chapters, all the healing and teaching and miracles and even the crucifixion, maybe that's all just the beginning. The ending is yet to be seen because it has to be written in the flesh and blood of our own lives. Early on Sunday morning, Mark says that Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome come bearing spices to anoint the body. At the end of the previous chapter, we heard that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, were there as the body was placed in the tomb and the stone rolled in front to seal it. James and Joseph were both considered to be brothers of Jesus, so that's another way of saying that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were with him the whole time. In other words, there's no indication that they're mistaken and have simply gone to the wrong tomb. There was no time to anoint the body for burial on the Friday before the Sabbath began at sundown. So they return on Sunday to take care of unfinished business. They don't come with high expectations. They are carrying spices to embalm a corpse. They wonder aloud who they can find to roll away the stone from the covering the entrance to the tomb. They come expecting death because they live in a world where up until this very moment, dead people have stayed dead. But when they get to the tomb, the stone has already been rolled away. They look inside to see that the body is gone. Just then they are startled by a young man who tells them that Jesus has been raised. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. And it's true. He did tell them all of that. Back in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they were praying after that last meal together. After I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. In other words, if you want to see Jesus, go to Galilee, because he's already there. Do you know where Galilee is? Basically, the middle of nowhere. Nazareth is there, and most of the disciples come from around there somewhere, but mostly it's a whole lot of nothing. So the extraordinarily raised from the dead Christ returns to very ordinary Galilee. Why Galilee? Jerusalem would have been a lot closer, an easy walk from the tomb. More cosmopolitan, better restaurants, nicer hotels. But the young man says he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Galilee, the middle of nowhere. Ever been to a place like that? Galilee is where ordinary people live, not the Beltway insiders. Not the Hollywood A-list, not the Silicon Valley tech giants. Galilee, plain, ordinary, boring Galilee is where plain, ordinary people like us live their sometimes boring lives. Outsiders live there too, the ones left behind, the ones who missed the fast track to fame or fortune or happiness. Galilee is where sick people gather at Peter's house to be healed, where Jesus is tormented by demons, where hungry people surround him asking for something to eat. Galilee is the place where the paint is peeling, where the china is chipped, where hearts are broken, where lives are not always what we planned. So let's be honest. Most of life, most of our lives are lived in Galilee. Ordinary, mundane, typical, day in and day out. Look at your loved one with cancer up against a disease no one completely understands. That is Galilee. See those scrawny kids coming to school in dirty clothes? Because if you don't have a car, you can't get to the laundromat, and you sure don't have money to spend on detergent. Their cheeks are sunken, and their eyes tell you that life has dealt them way too much disappointment already. That is Galilee. A teenager cowers in the corner because mama or daddy has been drinking again. That is Galilee. The widow at the freshly dug grave has no idea what to do next. That is Galilee. The young adult juggling the smartphone and the laptop, nice home, nice car, nice life, but empty inside. That is Galilee. And Galilee is where the risen Christ asks us to join him as he stands against everything that robs human life of meaning and purpose. Mark says if we're looking for Jesus in a champagne reception outside the empty tomb, we will never find him. He's gone already, gone to Galilee where there is work to be done, and he will meet us there. He will meet the women who came to the tomb, the ones who never stopped loving him even when they thought he was dead. He will come to those who follow and stand with him, and he will come to those who give up and run away. He will come to disciples who betray and deny and sell him out for 30 pieces of silver. He will come to politicians and religious leaders who arrange his murder. He will come to those with no room for him in their lives, those who have never believed and aren't even sure how to. He will come anyway. He will come to Galilee, and he will meet us there, all of us. He is not here. He has been raised, just as he said. In Mark's gospel, if you want to see the risen Christ, you have to look to the future. Had Mark included post-resurrection appearances like the other gospels, it might have brought some sense of closure, but Mark's ending is no end. Only we can write the next chapter. Friends, it is Easter morning and the new creation is dawning. The sun has begun to rise. Leave that empty tomb. There is nothing there for you any longer. Make your way to Galilee and follow Jesus Christ into God's new world, the future thrown open before us. That is resurrection, and it is intended for us every bit as much as it is for him. Because Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.